Hello, and welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and also the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, it's a real pleasure to have Michael McCleary join us. Michael serves as CEO of Ascend, an Atlanta-based dry van full truckload carrier. Mike leads the Ascend management team, which is supported by a board of directors comprised of senior industry executives with more than 150 years of combined experience from Amazon, FedEx, and UPS. Prior to joining Ascend, Mike held multiple positions at Amazon, including president of truckload brokerage in the North American network, growing Amazon's carrier base. He also served as Amazon's head of truckload sales, leading a team dedicated to selling Amazon's growing backhaul network. And before Amazon, Mike spent 17 years at UPS running its international and domestic U.S. businesses before becoming the global head of strategy for international package and supply chain. Mike has a bachelor's degree in economics from George Mason University and also an MBA from the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeff. Sounds like we're done. You just wrapped up everything.
Hey, well, it's an impressive bio, and I'm happy to read it off. So listen, Mike, why don't we just get started? Ascend really made its formal market debut earlier this year in early January. And why don't you tell us a little bit about how sort of that came to fruition, how the company came to be?
Sure, Jeff. So as you had mentioned, I spent a good chunk of my career at UPS. And at the tail end of my career, I was part of the Coyote Logistics acquisition with UPS. Sure. After going through a few of different iterations with Coyote and thinking about our strategy, I was approached by Amazon, who was looking to build out their middle mile truckload brokerage division, and made the jump. Went over to Amazon and grew that business significantly, expanded the Relay product, introduced Buy It Now pricing. I managed the tech group that was supporting the middle mile truckload brokerage business, as well as a backhaul sales division. And what I found, dealing with carriers in the brokerage space is that, as Amazon started to speed up the delivery network, the regional carriers couldn't keep up with the service requirements.
Okay.
It's really different in the e-commerce world where, you miss a sort. And it's not one package that's late, it's 25,000 packages that are late. So I started to, playing around with an investment thesis and modernizing and bringing better technology to these regional asset carriers, and then combining the asset carriers with some advanced brokerage services. I ended up leaving Amazon in 2019. Locked arms with a handful of other industry execs, Alan Gershenhorn, who was the ex-CCO from UPS, mm-hmm. Ed Buckley, who was the ex-president of global marketing for UPS, and John Payne, who brought more of the ops perspective. He was SVP of safety and maintenance at FedEx. And we played around with this investment thesis. Ended up going up to New York and talking to a handful of private equity groups and found a great fit with a company called Wellspring Capital, where they pledged to support us on our endeavors. We ended up acquiring Mylan Supply Chain Solutions at the end of 19 with big growth ambitions to acquire more businesses. But what we didn't predict was COVID. Sure. Missed that one.
Yeah.
So we kind of fumbled around through 2020, spent a lot of time refining our investment thesis, remixed our customer base. We had another company that was folded into the mix called J&B Services out of Tupelo, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Opened up a brokerage. We're running both in Nashville and in India. And continue to invest in our technology platform while we're trying to figure out what the heck's going to go on in the market.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 2021, 2020 was more stabilization. 2021 was transforming the core of the business to set us up to be in a position to grow. And at the end of 2021, we acquired another regional carrier, high quality regional carrier, dedicated transportation services, and brought them into the mix. And now we're just excited about 2022 and where we're going to take the company.
That's great. So with that as a backdrop and a nice setup too, why don't you go ahead, Mike, and just provide sort of an overview of your service portfolio, including also the verticals and geographical regions that Ascend serves?
Sure. Yeah. So we operate strictly dry van. I've always said we're going to do things that we know and stay away from things that we do not know. We run over-the-road networks. One thing that's unique about our over-the-road networks is we're operating relays. So our drivers are meeting at halfway points and coming back home the same night. Okay. So they're getting over-the-road miles, but running similar to a dedicated network. We also operate dedicated fleets for shippers, so we're acting as their private carrier. On the brokerage side, we have traditional non-asset-based brokerage. We also offer a power-only solution that's super unique because our brokers have access to a network of 4,000 trailers, which is continuing to grow. Okay. And then we have 750,000 square feet of distribution space that helps support the overall needs of our customers. So we've got a lot of flexibility to provide the right services for the right customers in the right industries. We're sticking with the non-cyclicals. So we spend a lot of time, or we have spent a lot of time moving away from automotive, not to say that we wouldn't handle it, but I think we're more into food and beverage, retail, e-commerce, staples where we know our network fits very well. And we know that people will pay for performance. So just excited about where we're going on the industry front. Geographically, we're really we're going to stick in areas where we can provide density. So right now we've got tremendous coverage in the Southeast throughout the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And I see us adding in those areas. I don't see us going, you know, far out west or into the Northeast.
Okay, great, great. And when Ascend made its formal debut into the market in early January, you had discussed how the company has a firm plan to transform the regional truckload sector through leveraging technology, building density, and offering driver-friendly routes and policies, efforts that will make it a carrier choice for shippers that demand high performance and flexibility at competitive rates, and the employee choice for drivers seeking a better work-life balance. I know it's early days, but how is the company executing on that mission to date?
Yeah, I think we've done a nice job investing in technology, building out the relay network concept in our over-the-road division. You know, we have roughly 1,200 trucks and where we're running super high density. That density allows us to leverage technology to improve not only on-time service, but also get our drivers home through that relay concept. You know, there's more work to be done, but we have been executing to a high level. We were recently named a Carrier of the Year at Home Depot, which we're super proud of. Niagara Water also named us Carrier of the Year. Our on-time performance throughout COVID it was 98%. And that's something that we do tout, is that we're going to put our mouths where our money is and make sure that we deliver the service quality that our shippers are expecting. And we're also not going to overcommit. So right. One thing that I pride myself on is that when we commit to a bid, we're going to take that bid. If I have to turn down some volume when it's initially given to us, I'd rather do that up front and make sure we service the shipper so they know what to expect from us.
Okay, great, great. And, you know, Ascend is in the truckload and brokerage markets really at a time when over-the-road capacity remains very tight, shippers continuing to deal with rate pressures, coupled with the ongoing driver shortage as well. And with that sort of as a backdrop, I was wondering what those factors and others mean for you guys in terms of both challenges and opportunities.
Yeah, I would say the driver shortage is a challenge for everyone. Providing capacity and getting equipment is another challenge. I was recently at a truckload conference talking about Nick Wakefield, who we just brought on as our chief people officer, and how we're getting too many drivers. Uh-huh. So I think our what we're offering to the driver base is resonating, and we're having to turn back drivers at this point because we don't have enough equipment. So, you know, yes, there is a driver shortage. What we're offering makes us a carrier of choice for drivers. It's just a matter of, do you go all in and buy super expensive equipment at this point, or do you kind of slow down, right size capacity, grow through acquisitions where we can get more equipment with good mm-hmm. carriers, and continue to expand our relationships with the shippers?
Okay. Excellent. Not too often do you hear you have to turn drivers away these days, right?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good problem to have in some ways. And you can't help but notice these days, Mike, especially going back to the onset of the pandemic, just how active the M&A market has been for freight transportation, supply chain, and logistics. And I know that Ascend has recently joined the party too. You guys recently acquired Greenville, South Carolina-based Dedicated Trucking Solutions, a provider of dedicated contract carriage services. How's that integration going so far? And as a follow-up, are more acquisitions part of your plans going forward?
Yeah, so I would say we're in the beginning stages of integration.
Okay.
There are multiple steps to, once you acquire a company, to making sure they're part of your procurement department, getting the insurance integrated, systems integration, people integration. We're really pleased with where we are at this stage. They're mm-hmm. a great company. We'll continue to be active in the M&A space, but very selective. I think that prices have been inflated as carriers are showing better performance. We all know that freight markets turn at some point. So we want to be very pragmatic about who we acquire and the strategic fit that they have in our network. But it's definitely an avenue that we're active in and that we'll continue to be active in as we grow the business.
Yeah, that's great. All right. I just can't remember a time when there's been more deals being announced seemingly on a daily basis. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, but you know what they say is that companies go bankrupt in the peak, not in the trough.
Right.
If you overpay for an investment today, you know, can you pay for that in the future if rates drop? And you just have to be super pragmatic and smart about where you grow and the strategic fit in the network, as well as what can you do with that business? Do you really achieve the synergies that you're expecting? And do you really provide the additional services to your shippers and their shippers? And does their shipper base fit with what you're trying to or where you're trying to build the business? And mm-hmm. Back to my original point of, hey, we know who we are. We know who we are not. And we're going to be super focused on that profile and be slow to acquire, but we'll get the right acquisitions. I mean, it's a $350 billion industry, and there's a lot of room out there for another player.
No, absolutely. And it's good to have that calm, measured approach to it as well. So shifting, Mike, to some more general topics, this is something I like to ask a lot of C-level executives, just sort of how you view the state of the freight economy. And there's a lot to chew on here. I mean, consumer demand, retail sales, the ongoing labor shortage, port-related issues, inflation. There's no shortage of things to watch, follow, and monitor. And I just kind of cited those as some examples of directions we could go in. But I'd just like to hear your take on how you view what's happening within the freight economy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough market for shippers and for carriers. If you go all the way back in the supply chain to kind of global logistics and outsourcing from China and Vietnam back into the U.S. You know, the pandemic caused manufacturers to shut down. When they did reopen, then they started mass producing, which flooded the shipping market, the ocean shipping market. And we've seen that in the ports with a lot of port congestion.
Yep.
Not enough chassis to clear out the ports. Rail not moving as smooth as it had in the past. It was a bullwhip effect of lots and lots of goods trying to be pushed through a smaller and smaller funnel. Couple that with people figuring out, hey, I really don't have to work as hard as I did in the past. You know, getting government subsidies that allowed them to stay at home. And say, you know, maybe I don't want to, I don't want to spend my life in a truck.
Right.
You know, add to that the driver wage increases, and what we've seen, and I think you'll hear it from other larger carriers, is that, you know, you pay drivers more, and what they figure out is they can work 4 days a week, not five.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a problem on asset utilization. It also creates a problem with shippers where, you know, you got to find a way to meet their 5-6 day a week networks. And when you have drivers who want to work less, it's not always the best outcome. And I don't think that supply problem changes anytime soon. I think that equipment prices are continuing to increase. Trailers that we paid $28,500 for last March are now $70,000. You can't afford to buy them and not pass on the costs. Or share the costs with your partners. So it's super, super tough market. Now layer on top of that the situation overseas. You know, we could probably expect to see another 50 cents on fuel. So back to our mantra of using technology to minimize deadhead and maximize trailer utilization. That obviously helps with fuel consumption. We're also running newer trucks that'll help us a little bit. But, you know, 50 cents on a gallon of diesel becomes quite expensive.
Yeah, the diesel run up is something else to be sure. I think we're over the $4 per gallon mark for the third straight week based on Department of Energy data was actually issued earlier today. As an aside, Mike, can we just take a minute and talk about the inflationary aspects in terms of the impact of inflation on supply chain operations and in terms of how it impacts perhaps the carrier shipper dynamic too?
Sure, absolutely. You go down just about every avenue of our costs and you can see inflation. It's not transitory. It's more permanent. You know, this started a couple of years ago when the supply demand imbalance shifted with hours of service, the e-logs, the mandatory drug testing. I think these are all good things, by the way, but it did reduce the pool of drivers in the market. That led to driver wage increases, which we've seen consecutively over the last 3 years. Add to that nuclear verdicts on the insurance side. We're also seeing big jumps in our insurance costs to cover these large verdicts that are hitting insurers. Equipment costs, tractors are up. There's used tractors are now the price of new tractors. Trailers are getting almost as expensive as tractors right now. You go across the board, we're just not seeing any signs of it letting up. What we have done is I think, you know, with the technology we've implemented, we can be super surgical and show our costs all the way down to the lane level. I want to promote a partnership with our shippers. We're not going in with a broad-based, you know, here's a rate increase. We're going in and showing them, look, here's what we're actually paying. I'll show you my costs. We want to be fair on both sides. And I think it's been well received by shippers. It's the fact of the matter is our costs are going up and, you know, you want us to stay in business so we can provide the same quality of service that we have been providing. And so to me, it's about building that partnership and trust and sharing as much information as you can so they can understand what's happening on the carrier front.
No, absolutely. Well said. And just a few more quick ones here, Mike. You know, you can't help but notice this horrible events, the Russia, relating to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. You know, I know you just indicated, obviously, there will be an impact on, obviously, fuel costs, oil costs. What are some other ways which potentially the longer this goes on in ways in which could impact North American supply chains?
Yeah, well, I believe that, you know, whether it was the pandemic and the realization that this outsourced model may not be the most efficient, and now we have, you know, the potential for a large scale war in Europe, that companies will start to nearsource. That puts a lot more pressure on the domestic supply chains. As you bring manufacturing back into the U.S. or into neighboring countries, you're going to have to be able to provide capabilities to support the movement of parts or the manufacturing of these components and movement back into distribution centers. So it could really shift the balance from outsourcing to nearsourcing, which would dramatically change a company and how they view their supply chain.
Sure.
You can get a lot closer to, you know, just in time if you've got your parts closer by, maybe a little bit more expensive, but you've got better reliability. And that also helps, you know, consumers who want products now. They don't want to wait. They don't want to go to the store anymore. They want to be at home and order and have it there in 2 hours. So outside of fuel, I think you could see a big shift where, you know, companies weigh the risks of being overseas and whether they should continue to manufacture using low labor costs and offset that the higher supply chain movements by putting factories back in nearer geographic locations.
Okay, great. And as far as in this, obviously, perhaps maybe put the Amazon hat back on for a second here, but and we had touched upon it in your comments about the pandemic, but how do you sort of view the ongoing impact or influence of the e-commerce driven supply chain? It's certainly something that impacts all of us, whether you're shipper, carrier, broker, just regular old consumer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of the reason why we built Ascend. I mean, the belief is that the middle mile is an often ignored component of a broader e-commerce solution. And you need that predictability, you need the reliability, you need that on-time service if you're going to feed sort centers and distribution centers with large or a lot of packages. Without that technological capability, which we are building, 80% on time just doesn't work. You have too many failures, and that's part of what we want to. The solutions we want to provide back to shippers.
Okay. Excellent. So Mike, this brings us to the end of our allotted time for today's podcast. So on behalf of Logistics Management Magazine and also the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, I want to offer up a big thanks to you for joining us today.
That's great, Jeff. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again. And, for those of you that aren't currently subscribed to our podcast, or wherever you get your podcast, please just go ahead and look for Supply Chain 24/7 and go ahead and sign up. And also, please feel free to give us a follow on Twitter. That's simply at LogisticsMGMT. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.